And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Imagine that you're an astronaut sitting on top of a rocket that's about to blast off into space. You can hear the man counting down from 10 very slowly. Of all of the things that must be right, and of all of the things that must be true, one is that you'd better be ready to go. Because when he gets to the end of that countdown, that rocket will ignite and it will blast you off from this earth into space. But what if you're not ready? Well, we know that in a spiritual sense, there are times when we must be ready to go. In fact, it doesn't always even mean physical movement. Sometimes it means mentally or emotionally, we must be ready to do something that God has commanded. Ready to go. Are you ready? Are you ready to go where God has said? Are you ready to go to heaven? That's our topic today as we explore God's truth for the world. Thank you for joining us today. It's so encouraging to know that there are so many of you who have an interest in spiritual matters. It lets us know that you do know about God, that you're interested in your soul and the eternal destiny of your soul. It means that you're also interested in doing what God wants you to do while living here on the earth. I heard a great preacher say one time that even if there was no heaven, he would be a Christian. Because the Christian life is the happiest and most fulfilling life to live on this earth. Now, many times we don't think of it that way. We think, I would rather do what I want to do. I would rather make my own rules than to live by God's rules. But I believe this man was right. Even if there was not a reward in heaven, certainly the Christian life is a great and happy life here on the earth. So we're glad that you are thinking about and interested in these spiritual matters. Today we begin a study that, Lord willing, will complete next week. We're going to look at Abraham as an example of faithfulness, for in Galatians 3 he's referred to as faithful Abraham. We've divided the lessons this way. This week we're going to entitle the lesson, Faithfulness Means Ready to Go. And Lord willing, next week we will look at faithfulness meaning ready to give. We take our text this week from Hebrews chapter 11. This chapter has been called the Hall of Faith, or Great Examples of Faith, and certainly it is. And of this chapter and all of the great characters mentioned, more of the verses are assigned to Abraham and particular things that he did than to anyone else. If you read with me beginning in chapter 11 and verse 8, we find that by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, there are many things that we could discuss from this particular passage. It's important for us to understand that God here sends Abraham from his homeland, from his kindred, from the rest of his family, and sends him to a different place, a foreign land, where he was a stranger and a pilgrim. Because of his faithfulness, we know that God made promises to Abraham. They're recorded for us in Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. These promises were made to Abraham because he was faithful. And these promises were very well known, even by the Jews up into the time that Jesus walked the earth. In John chapter 8, verses 32 through 42, we find Jesus having a discussion with the Jews of his day, and we won't read all of the verses, but it's important to notice that in verse 32, Jesus offered them freedom. Now, he was offering freedom from sin. They didn't understand. In verse 33, they said, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? They were willfully ignorant of the fact that even Abraham's seed had been in bondage. In fact, had been in bondage to many different nations many different times. Also, we understand that at this very time that Jesus was talking to them, they were in bondage to the Roman Empire. But Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So the Jews of his day knew of the promises to Abraham, took great stock in the fact that they had come from Abraham, yet in doing so, many of them rejected the Christ, the one who could make them completely free from sin. We need to understand that the call that God made to Abraham to come out of his country, to go into this other land, is very similar to the call that God has made to us today. Now, God spoke directly to Abraham. In our case, he doesn't communicate with us directly, but rather it is through his gospel that he calls us, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Because of that, we need to see that God calls us, and he calls us to be obedient to him, just as he did with Abraham. Now, I'd like to look at some of the similarities between those two calls. If we can look at the way that Abraham was faithful to the call God gave him and apply those to the way that God calls us through the gospel, then we too can be faithful to him and we can be called the friend of God. First of all, notice that Abraham was called to believe in a better place. He lived in a good country. Ur of the Chaldees was a very nice place. But he was called to go to a better place, and it wasn't the land of Canaan. We need to understand that Abraham did not desire the land of Canaan. Rather, God gave that to his descendants as a completion of the promise. But Abraham's desire was much higher. Abraham desired heaven. In fact, he desired the exact same place that we seek. Notice Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 14. "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, but not the land of Canaan. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they'd come out, they would have had opportunity to return." Now, this is a reference to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. They could have gone back to Ur of the Chaldees. But notice, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." They desired the same place that we desire. If you notice John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus promises us exactly the same thing. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Not mansions of this earth, but heavenly mansions. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's very clear that Abraham desired to go to heaven. He wanted to live in that heavenly city, that heavenly country. And we have been promised the same. So there's a striking similarity there. Abraham was called to leave his place to go to a better place. We are called by the gospel to leave this world that we might go to a better place, that we might have heaven. Also, we notice that Abraham was called to walk in a shown path. What do we mean by that? Simply means that he didn't know where he was going when he set out, but he did know that God would show him the way, that God would direct his steps, and because of that he walked in a shown path. Abraham walked as he was directed. Genesis chapter 26, beginning in verse 4, God says, "I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Now, why was that? These are the same promises God made back in chapter 12. Why is he giving the promises again? "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Now, this was God talking to Abraham's son, Isaac. And he's telling Isaac, "Because of the faithfulness of your father, Abraham, I will be faithful to my promise that was made to him and, by extension, was made to Isaac as well." Jesus also came to this earth to show us the way. Just as God directed the steps with his commandments, statutes, and laws, directed Abraham's steps, Jesus came to show us the way. In fact, if you look in the book of Matthew, at least 10 different times, you hear Jesus say, "But I say," now most of these, of course, are found in the Sermon on the Mount. See, there were many different ideas as to how man should live and what man should do. But Jesus came to say, "I'm the authority, but I say unto you." Jesus is the one who came to show us the way. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, we learned an abiding principle. "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps." We don't have the power to control our own way, to show ourselves the way. Therefore, God provides that direction. Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, tells us that we are to enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. But there are many who go in thereat, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. See, walking the right path is not always easy. In fact, if it were not for God and His revealed will to us through the Bible, we wouldn't even know that there was a right and a wrong path. We might speculate. We might, by trial and error, see that some things work better for man than others. But we would not know from God the right way to go. But God has revealed Himself. In fact, man has never been left without the guidance of God. He spoke directly to Adam and Eve and the patriarchs in the first dispensation. He spoke to Israel through the law of Moses, and we know also that He did give instruction to those other nations round about Israel, for they were called to repentance by the great prophet Jonah. So God has always instructed man, and He now gives that instruction to us through the Bible, through the New Testament, the law of Christ. So you see, Jesus came to show us a way. Just as Abraham was called to leave his home and go to a better place, the gospel calls us out of this world to a better place. Just as God showed Abraham the way and directed his steps, Jesus came to show us the way that we should go and direct our steps. Are you walking that way? I sure hope that you are. We're going to break for just a moment. Please pay attention to the announcer, and he'll tell you how you might receive the free Bible correspondence courses.
We'd like to enroll you in a free Bible correspondence course offered by Truth for the World. It's non-denominational, based strictly upon the Word of God and not the creeds or the traditions of men. You can receive the course by writing to us today at this address: Truth for the World, P.O. Box 5048, Duluth, Georgia 30096. Why not write for this free course today?
We do hope that you'll write to us and enroll in the Bible correspondence courses. It would allow us to continue this period of Bible study beyond the limits of this particular broadcast. And it's only by studying God's Word that we can know it, and only by knowing it that we can be obedient and therefore pleasing to Him. Just as Abraham was called, and he was called to go to a better place and to a place God would show him, we have also been called to leave this world for a better place and to walk in a way that Jesus came to show us. But Abraham was also called to believe in an inheritance. An inheritance is not something that a person would earn, but rather something that would be passed down or given to him. And Abraham was promised that inheritance. Notice Hebrews 11 and verse 13 shows us that Abraham had a life that was walking by faith and not by sight. He believed that God would do the things that He said, even though Abraham didn't see God do many of those things. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11 says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How did they see these promises afar off? They saw them by faith. It is by believing that God would do what He said He would do that they could see these things even before God had fulfilled them. The fulfilling of the promise to Abraham should serve as evidence to us that God is faithful and able to deliver all that He promises. Sometimes we are very surprised at God's methods. See, God has offered us an inheritance as well, but He says we must be ready for that inheritance. So God makes us ready for it. Well, how does He do that? He does that through the Word. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32 says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." It is God's Word that not only strengthens us and builds us up, but makes us ready for that inheritance. It's preaching that turns men away from darkness and to the light of God that makes us ready for an inheritance. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, we read that it was to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The Bible directs our steps. The Bible prepares us so that we might be ready to receive that inheritance that's been promised. God prepares us for that inheritance in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, we read that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His own will. It is God who does things according to His own counsel and His own will, and He has predestined, He has decided in advance who will be saved, not on an individual basis. As we mentioned last week in our lesson, this predestination occurs by God determining in advance what people must do in order to be saved. Therefore, He has predestined each one of us. All who are obedient will be saved. All who are disobedient will be lost. It is in that sense that we are foreordained or ordered in advance to our fate. Each one of us has the ability and the necessity of choosing what we'll do. And we will spend eternity based on that choice. For the inheritance that we're talking about is an eternal inheritance. There are temporary inheritances. In fact, you may read of a young man or a young woman who inherits a great sum of money from his father or mother. But because they do not manage it properly, or maybe because of bad luck, that inheritance is soon gone. I'm reminded of the prodigal son who required of his father his inheritance in advance of his father's death. He took that inheritance and went into a far country and wasted it in riotous living. It was a temporary inheritance. But the one that we're discussing is an eternal inheritance. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 it says, "And for this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance." God wants to give us an inheritance. We are called, as was Abraham, to believe in an inheritance. But it is an eternal inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance." What kind? "Incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." God has called us through His Word to a perfect and eternal inheritance. So just as Abraham was called to leave his homeland, we are called by the gospel to leave the world. Just as Abraham was called to believe in what he had not yet seen, we are called to believe in what we have not yet seen. Just as Abraham had the evidence from God to know that he was faithful, we have evidence, even the fulfilling of the promises to Abraham, that show us that God is faithful, that God is trustworthy, that God is able to deliver all that He has promised. Abraham obeyed that call. Abraham is called faithful Abraham because faithful means ready to go when God calls. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go in obedience and do what God commands? If so, you also can be called the friend of God. And I hope that is the case.